Hello and welcome to the 2007 series of the Tank Podcast. Richard Saunders with you once again. And this special episode to kick off the series. Stefan will be joining us a bit later in the series to help me muddle through this show we call The Tank. But first up, a special episode dedicated to the amazing adventure two with James Randi, the cruise up the coast of Alaska. It was a wonderful experience, and I'm sure all the skeptics who joined us would agree with that. And in future shows, we'll be interviewing some very interesting people. We've got Rebecca Watson, the skeptic, lined up for an interview at some stage down the track. People like Elaine Gilman from the Denver Skeptics will be telling us all about her group. We'll be hearing more from Alison Smith from the SAPS organization, Skeptical Analysis of the Paranormal. And, well, basically, anybody I can convince to come on the show. But let's kick off this special episode right away with my report about the amazing Adventure 2. Well, after this short message. The skeptical community has certainly been taking advantage of the new, relatively new, application of Facebook on the internet, www.facebook.com. A couple of groups I'd like to draw your attention to, of course, Australian Skeptics is a new group on Facebook, and you can find out lots of information about the Australian Skeptics there and upcoming events. And also a fun group called Origami Pigasus. Pigasus, of course, being the famous James Randi flying pig. Well, there's been a paper, origami paper Pigasus invented, and we're trying to get that Pigasus to pop up all over the world. So go to Origami Pigasus on Facebook, see the instructions, make your own Pigasus, and post the photographs. The Amazing Adventure 2 cruise north to Alaska was held from the 2nd to the 9th of September 2007 aboard the Celebrity Cruise Line's Infinity vessel. Joining us on the cruise was none other than James Randi himself, Phil Plait, the bad astronomer, Hal Bidlack, Jeff Wagg, and skeptic Rebecca Watson. The ship left Vancouver, sailed up the Inside Passage, where we visited Ketchikan, Alaska, then the Hubbard Glacier, before turning back, visiting Juneau, Icy Strait Point, and finally arriving back in Vancouver. The cruise gave everybody the chance to sit and talk with James Randi, and I took my opportunity one morning over breakfast. We're on the Amazing Adventure 2 up the coast of Alaska, and here having breakfast with Mr. James Randi. Randi, now you are a seasoned traveller, to say the least. What is your sage advice for travellers of the world?
Well, this is the season of my discontent, let's put it that way. The ship has been rolling like crazy during the night, and it is not quite ceased, but it's down to a reasonable roll right now. And we've got hysterics in the background, as you can hear. But
They just got your joke from last night.
Yeah, there you go. I'm having a wonderful time. It's very stimulating to be with such good friends and fans here. And I like the little curtsies that people give when I pass by. And, you know, that's right.
Standing to attention.
Yes, and I give them a quick blessing as I pass. No, it's really fun, Richard, to be here with folks like you who have come some distance to be here. And that's very flattering indeed. And I have not seen this part of the world before, and certainly not from this particular vantage point. So I'm having a very good time. I'm highly entertained, and I hope that along the way I might provide some of the entertainment.
I think that a situation like this, even though we're on a large vessel, it's much like your amazing meetings. It's simply a great opportunity to make new friends, to network, like any social organization,
yes,
I guess.
Well, you know, we launched this cruise, as we have with others, and with the amazing meetings and such, for purposes of funding the JREF. That's very obvious, and we've never concealed the facts about it, but on this particular venture, we won't make very much money. But that's not the only purpose of it. The purpose of interacting with friends of like mind, and I've done a great deal of that in just the last couple of days, and we're barely started on this venture. It's been most rewarding in that respect. It's touching the flesh and making sure that the people have met eye to eye. And I made my little speech at the very beginning when we first boarded here, I want people to come over and make sure that I shake their hand, I look them straight in the eye, and what questions have we got? And people have followed me up on that invitation, and they've cornered me. I'm very gladly and happily cornered, I must say. I have no objection to it. In fact, I encourage it. So it's been wonderful. It's just been wonderful. A good, good experience. And though I'm a little annoyed at being out of cell phone reach and internet reach at the moment until we come to the next port, because I've got to send in the weekly copy of Swift, of course, that sort of bears on me. But I've got it all prepared. It's in the computer and ready to press the button to say transmit. So I'm looking after my duties at the same time.
So how do you think this compares to the amazing meetings, which are 3-day events?
Yes, usually.
I've yet to go to one. I hope to go to one next year. But this is a 7-day cruise, so it's a different thing altogether.
Oh, it's a different thing altogether. And, you know, we can break away from a group, and the next day we know that they'll be around someplace and join them at the breakfast table or whatever and continue on with the conversation. So it has that advantage. It's a wonderful opportunity to interact with the faithful, so to speak.
It's a smaller group than an amazing meeting. I suppose people do then have the opportunity to spend a little bit more time with you.
Oh, yes.
You must be a little overwhelmed sometimes at the meetings.
Oh, no.
No?
No, not really. Well, I'm so busy at the meeting, I don't know who I've spoken to or what I've said. But, you know, at the last amazing meeting, we had 810 people in attendance. That's a huge crowd. Very hard to manage. But we've got 93 people on this cruise, and that's much more, as you said, much more handleable number.
Handleable.
Whatever. Yeah. Is that a good word?
I like that word.
All right, there you go. I just invented it. So, in any case, it's been a very good, rewarding experience, and I'm enjoying every minute.
Mr. Andy, thank you very much.
Certainly one of the highlights of the cruise was the chance to see Hubbard Glacier up close. Very close, as a matter of fact. The vessel pulled into the inlet where the glacier meets the ocean, and we spent a good half an hour to 45 minutes as the captain slowly turned the vessel around. This gave everybody the chance to rush up to the top decks, take photographs, and then take some more photographs. I bumped into some skeptics, also enjoying the view.
This is the walking up to the glacier, up here.
And we feel this weight. The weather conditions, of course, sucking heat off of your body incredibly fast. And so my encouragement to you is to go and have 2 or 3 more desserts. Have some fun. What I do know is all around the vessel, it's hot chocolate, Bailey's, and all these great drinks that are happening. And celebrate. You had an amazing time. There, you've got the chance to go exploring Alaska even more. I've got some icebergs that we're going to need to deal with down before us. My encouragement would be for you to move down to deck 4, port starboard side, as we slip past these icebergs. Great photographs. Each one of them unique. Each one of them just incredibly intense light. Heraclides once said that you never step in the same street twice. That holds true for icebergs. You never see the same iceberg twice. Come on. Keep that explorer hat on. Let's go exploring. Let's meet the ice. This captain slowly takes us back out through this rash ice before us as we head toward Yakutat Bay.
Now I'm here on the deck, the fourth deck of this Infinity vessel. We're viewing the glacier, and sometimes bits of it are falling off. And I'm here with a lovely skeptic from Texas. Can you introduce yourself?
I'm Susan Hurst from Fort Worth.
And what do you think of the view so far?
It's incredible. I've never seen anything like it.
It's stunning. The end of the glacier here, and it is blue. It's stunningly blue ice. I've never seen anything like it in my life. And the mountains are surrounding us, and there's lots of people here up on deck. But you've joined the amazing cruise. Is this your first amazing event, or your 10th?
It is not. It's my 4th.
Yeah?
I've been to 2 amazing meetings, and this is our 2nd cruise.
Your 2nd cruise? Oh, wow.
We went on the Amazing Adventure 1 through the Bermuda Triangle, and now to Alaska.
That's quite a difference.
It is, and that's what makes it really special.
Yeah.
Some of the same people on both cruises and some new people. It's all good.
It's all good. I tell you, folks, the benefits of being a skeptic are too numerous to mention, especially when you can see this incredible view. Now, as we are now moving away from the glacier, we can look further back and see these incredible mountains with the snow streaked about them. And they're not far from the vessel either. More and more people sort of gathering around to look at all this. I'm here. I can see Phil Plait, the bad astronomer, and his wife, and groups of other people. That's another thing about these events, isn't it? The people are incredible.
And you get to talk to people that you wouldn't imagine you would get to talk to. Have dinner with James Randi.
Yeah.
And with Phil Plait and Rebecca Watson. Skeptic. And of course with you.
Oh, thank you.
It's incredible. Hey. Hi.
Now I'm here with Phil Plait, the bad astronomer. Phil, I know you're somewhat disappointed with the cruise so far, and especially this mediocre...
Mostly it's the guests.
Yeah, the guests, is it? Yeah.
I was told cattle would be boring, and this calving is just completely different than I expected.
Yeah, that wasn't me, that was Hal.
You can edit that out, right?
I can edit that out, yes. And now, that's just bits of the glacier that have fallen off in front of us now as we cruise away from it. Like tiny, mini, little icebergs, but apparently the captain said, oh, wait a minute.
Way too late. It's on the other side. No.
It's bits of the glacier falling off as we speak. Oh, yeah. And they create a little wave that comes off from them.
Oh, wow, here's an iceberg.
Right. Yeah, right near us now.
That's an iceberg.
A burglar, maybe. Yeah. That's a bigger one right there. Again, the incredible blue color of the ice as we drift past.
Is there a frozen bird in that thing?
It might be.
Doesn't it look like it?
There's a really big
small little mice chasing acorns that are saber-toothed mice.
Squirrels chasing acorns, yeah. Boy, the sound. This is really phenomenal.
Look at big.
Just big enough.
Look at
like Lincoln's legs.
Now look at the mountains in the background there. Look at that. Is it a glacier?
Like a river of ice.
A river of ice going up into the mountains. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, it is. It's all ice. It's feeding the glacier.
Hello.
That was a big one. Somewhere. Very eerie sound to hear those crashes. Crashing noises, thumping noises.
It's really terrible how people kept throwing their drinks over the side.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. You can almost
look at the layers.
Jump onto that one.
After viewing the wonders of the glacier, I went down below decks to the Martini Lounge, where I rendezvoused with Rebecca Watson, the skeptic. Or was it... We had a martini in the Rendezvous Lounge. I can't remember which one. Rebecca Watson is great fun, a great skeptic, and always has something to say.
And we're still on the ship, believe it or not. Now we're talking to the famous Rebecca. Rebecca, how are you?
Are we? I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very well. You enjoying the trip?
Of course I am. I'm with you. How could I not?
And that's all for now. Thank you, Andrew. And what's been the highlight so far? I know we've only been going for 3 days.
The highlight so far, well, today we saw a glacier calving, and it was gorgeous.
Hubbard, wasn't it?
Hubbard Glacier. Yeah, it was absolutely beautiful. It was immense, and it made these amazing sounds, like thunder. It was really beautiful. That was the highlight so far.
So what's it like being the token female skeptic on the cruise?
It's like being Smurfette. I don't know what that means. It's not so bad. There are other women here. And
that's true, but
and
you're the official.
I'm the only official one. It's not a problem because I'm so used to it.
What is your advice for young ladies out there who are thinking that, gee, maybe skepticism is for me?
My advice is that it is for you. I think the idea is a lot of women out there have those little thoughts, those skeptical thoughts, but it doesn't really occur to them to get involved in the skeptical community or movement or whatever you want to call it. And when they come to an event like this, I think hopefully they see people like me and one of the many other women who are here today. They see us as out and proud skeptics, and they realize that it's okay and that they can do that too. And it's kind of difficult because skepticism by definition is kind of an in-your-face sort of thing. It's going against the grain. It's telling people that what they believe is not true, and it's not always the popular thing to do, and it's not something that women are always taught is okay to do. And so I think that we're just trying to make headway, showing them that it is okay to do that.
I guess a lot of people out there don't realize that being a skeptic also involves hanging out in hot tubs on cruises and looking at glaciers.
I thought we were keeping that a secret. It's all very hard work. Very hard work. No, it's a lot of fun. Things like this are so great. I love meeting all the new people. Like, this is the first time we've met.
It is.
I was just logging today, yesterday, and I said that my favorite thing about these things are I always meet just a few people who I really, really like. And then the worst part is at the end, they always go to the other side of the world. That's always the way it is. But then, you know, on the brighter side, I also meet people like you.
Listeners can make up their own minds.
I'm kidding. No, I've been having a lot of fun in meeting very amusing people like yourself.
And it's great to see, of course, James Randi here on the trip. And he's been the life and soul. He's always a story and always magic tricks.
I adore Randi. And the best thing in the world is to just be walking through the ship, or if you come to the Amazing Meeting in Las Vegas or in Fort Lauderdale, to just be walking around a hotel and you run into Randi, and he's always so accessible, and you just pull him off into a little nook and he will sit down and he will tell you the most outrageous and amazing stories. I mean, stories about Richard Feynman or Alice Cooper or screw the other names. He'll just tell you amazing stories about himself and all the weird adventures that he's gotten into.
That happened to us today. We were in the elevator going down to one of the lower decks, and we saw this incredible rainbow. Leapt out on the nearest deck and were looking at it, and suddenly there behind us was Randi.
Exactly, yeah. He turns up in really odd spots.
And hot on his heels, the Phil Plate, the bad astronomer, and half the skeptic crew.
Right, that's the thing. Everywhere you turn is somebody who has something interesting to say. Somebody who is an expert on something and can look at things in a different way, in a weird way. And I think that's what's amazing about the Amazing Meetings. It's such an awesome collection of people that you can't help but love.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Before joining the Amazing Adventure 2, I spent some time in Colorado. I was the guest of Phil Plate and the guest of the Denver Skeptics. Everyone treated me so well. I enjoyed giving a talk to the Denver Skeptics, and then they took me up Mount Evans, where I nearly passed out through lack of oxygen. In Colorado, I took the opportunity to buy the latest copy of the Skeptic magazine and noticed an article written by Skeptoc Harriet Hall. I didn't know she would be on the cruise.
Now, with charades going on in the background, it's the final day of the Amazing Cruise, the Amazing Adventure 2 to Alaska, north to Alaska with James Randi, and I'm sitting here with the Skeptoc, Harriet Hall. Hello, Harriet.
Hello, Ricky.
Now, you have an interesting story to tell about someone who has decided to contribute to the skeptical literature, and it's even a surprise to you. Is that a good description?
I guess so. I've been a passive skeptic for literally decades. I've been reading the Skeptical Inquirer and reading skeptical literature. And then I became a groupie. I started going to meetings and worshiping all those people up on the stage, but I never did anything or thought I had anything to contribute. Then I went to the Skeptics Toolbox Workshop one summer in Oregon, and I met some of these people, these high and mighty people from up on the stage, were down talking to the rest of us, and they were human beings, and they were fun, and I got to know them, and they started encouraging me, and one thing led to another, and pretty soon I had published some articles in Skeptical Inquirer. Then I went to the Amazing Meeting 2, and Michael Shermer spoke. And I went up on one of the breaks, and I told him about a book I'd read recently called God Code. Now, not the Bible Code, but another one that almost makes the Bible Code sound sane, called the God Code. It was completely off the wall. And I asked Michael if he'd read it, and he said no, but it sounded like something that would be good for his magazine. I said, well, you know, you should get somebody to write a book review for Skeptic Magazine. He said, why don't you write it?
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden, I'm not only publishing in Skeptic, but I have my own column. I'm a contributing editor. I've got three articles coming out in the next issue.
Three?
Yes. Yeah.
So what is your main focus of interest there?
Health fraud.
Health fraud.
I'm a retired family physician, and I've been working with the Quack Watch website, with the health fraud discussion list on Quack Watch, and I've learned a tremendous amount from interacting with the people on there, written some articles for the Quack Watch site, and I'm mainly trying to use my medical expertise for something useful. I've been retired for quite a while now, but this is a way that I can contribute.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And have you been getting much correspondence, much feedback?
Well, yes. I wrote an article for Skeptical Inquirer called Teaching Pigs to Sing about my experiences trying to introduce some skeptical ideas to a group of the general public, which was, like I say, teaching pigs to sing only wastes your time and annoys the pigs, and
yeah.
That sort of was the story of that. But I got a lot of feedback, and my favorite one was an email that started out, "Dear Harriet, will you marry me?" He went on to say he was actually already happily married, but we could move to Utah.
Oh, right. So you have, at least it lets you know that people are out there and they're reading your articles.
Yes, it's been very gratifying. I've had requests to use my articles for college courses on critical thinking, and
wow.
Requests to post it on websites and to reprint it, and it's been...
That is gratifying.
Very gratifying.
And I noticed in the issue of The Skeptic, where you have an article in the issue of the Spider-Man on the cover. No, that's a Skeptical Inquirer. One of the Skeptic has Dawkins on the cover. I get them all confused. Picture of Richard Dawkins with your article. It's a very interesting line drawing of you, or was that a photograph turned into a line drawing?
I sent a photograph to Pat Lindsay, the art lady at Skeptic, at her request, and she did the pencil sketch. She had not met me at the time.
Yeah.
My daughter says it makes me look mean. But
who, incidentally, is on the cruise with us. Your daughter.
My daughter is, yes.
I had dinner with her the other night. She seems quite charming.
Thank you.
So, thank you very much for chatting to me. Enjoy the rest of the cruise. I think there are some whales to be spotted this afternoon.
Okay, thank you very much, Richard.
Now, this being the modern world, many people were taking photographs on the cruise, and you can find those photographs at www.flickr.com. That's FLICKR.com. Just search for Amazing Adventure 2. And so, sadly, the cruise came to an end. We said our goodbyes at the port of Vancouver and some of us at the airport. I sincerely wish to thank Dr. Phil Plait and his family for putting me up in beautiful Boulder, Colorado. I'll be back, Phil. Elaine Gilman for hosting me with the Denver Skeptics. Hal Bidlack for not doing an Alexander Hamilton impersonation. Thanks, Hal. Jeff Wagg from the JREF. Skeptic Rebecca Watson for being so much fun on the cruise. And, of course, Mr. James Randi, without whom we would have no cruise, no adventure, and who helped make the cruise such a wonderful experience for everybody. Now, please visit the websites of the following people and organizations. Dr. Phil Plait can be found at badastronomy.com. The wonderful and funny Rebecca Watson can be found at skeptic.org. Elaine Gilman and the Denver Skeptics, well, if you go to meetup.com and type in Denver Skeptics, you'll find all the information about that group. And please visit www.randy.org to find out about more amazing meetings and more amazing adventures. The next one is to the Galapagos Islands.
Hello, this is Rebecca Watson of The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. You can find us by going on iTunes under the Science category or by heading to www.theskepticsguide.org. It's your escape to reality.
You have been listening to the Tank Podcast, produced in sunny Sydney, Australia by the Mystery Investigators, the Sirius Media Group, and Australian Skeptics. You can email us at cosmicspoon@gmail.com.